Tony?
You don't want to talk to the media after one interview.
Let me see what other agenda I have.
Take 5 minute break after.
Yeah, you can do that. Actually, that takes. Oh, look. The board is now back in open session. It's concluded agenda item 4. The time is 9:16 p.m. when the board concluded its executive session. With the board's consent, I'd like to take up item 5A at this time. There are no dissent from the board. All right, item 5A, Tony.
Item 5A, discussion of possible action regarding employment status of Joaquin Rodriguez.
All right. The board has received a resignation from Mr. Joaquin Rodriguez, and the board has accepted his resignation along with administration effective immediately. And that'll take, there's no action need to be taken on agenda item 5A. Agenda item 5B is the next agenda item.
Consider approval of employee status changes, non-exempt to exempt.
All right. I will entertain a motion at this time on agenda item 5B, or if it's the board's pleasure, we will table this to another meeting.
I'd like to move to postpone this indefinitely.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 5B to postpone the proposed employee status change from non-exempt to exempt indefinitely. Any discussion, further comments on this? Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cardado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
All right, and with that, we're going to take a 5 minute break and resume the agenda back on item 3A.
Do they want the answer?
So I've just been praying that
Yeah, whatever is meant to be.
No, oh no, they're not going to see that.
The lawyer told me that he had a good sense.
Well, she's not. I'm not sure if they're going to see it's his phone.
Well, they took this on the phone.
No, they're not going to see that.
You were just an extra.
No, you will never see that. To see this on the tissue, you've got to take it.
So he would just be sad and tell me what was. Yes, he written me a letter that week. I said, Mom, you're great. I love it. And then he put on there, as a matter of fact, I have it in my hand. He says, I'm in COVID yet. And then he just knocked on wood and then just.
Yeah, we'll be praying.
Yes, I had already.
I had not had it. Yeah.
But let it be the Lord's will.
Yes, let it be the Lord's will. Yes, let it be the
Yes, sir. In one of those, very physically active.
Well, yes.
But he loves repelling and all that. Well, and I thought, not only that, I thought, he was the one who is, not going to be in the forensics area. And I thought, you know what? Because he says he needs to spread the police department. And then I mentioned Border Patrol. I said, is there Border Patrol?
All right, guys.
Ready? Even though the brothers.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
We're back in session now. The next agenda item is item 3A, Tony.
Okay.
Discussion and possible action regarding extracurricular and co-curricular activities of Northwest Early College High School students. Dr. Murphy.
All right, Dr. Murphy.
President Coronado, board members, audience members, we addressed this in the committee meeting, and I said that we would let it would not move forward unless I heard from another board member, but I did hear from a board member that wanted to have this brought back. So basically, we have a student who's present here who's a senior at Northwest Early College High School who desires to participate in varsity athletics, specifically basketball, at the high school. Current practice at our early college and all early colleges in the El Paso area is that that is not allowed, and that Northwest, that early college students stay on the early college campus and the corresponding colleges and universities, but that they don't go to a comprehensive high school and participate. We did research this regarding specifically the athletic issue. Unfortunately, the student in question is not eligible via UIL policy as it currently stands because in the ironic situation, she actually has overachieved to the point where she doesn't have enough high school credits left. Per policy in UIL, she has to be enrolled at the high school at least half-time, and she only has 1.5 credits left to graduate, so anything she takes at the high school above the requirements is just extraneous to her, just be filler, like basket weaving type of setup. And they will not count, they do count community college credits, the 60 hours, but they do not count third and fourth year university credits as fulfilling the halftime requirement. We have written a letter to the UIL, which you have a copy of, requesting a ruling and also requesting leniency. I feel that no matter how the board rules on this, whether they allow the student to participate or don't allow the student to participate, I believe that as a state, the state should take a look at it and allow students who are in their third, fourth year at the university to at least have the leeway if the board does grant that leeway. And I have written that, and I've given you that letter. I did ask for a ruling today because I knew we were meeting on this tonight, and they tried. But to be honest with you, this really put them in a tailspin. They kicked it up all the way to the executive director, and he did not get back with me. And hopefully he'll get back soon. But as she currently stands, she's not eligible to participate. She could take extra class. We could put her in filler classes. We actually looked it up. She would have to literally take another full hour and 20-minute class on a daily basis at Northwest and an additional 50-minute class at Northwest. So she would be taking her UTEP classes, her current Northwest Early College classes. She would sign up for major sports at the comprehensive high school, and then also have to sign up for an hour and 20-minute class and a 50-minute class. To make the 50% threshold. Currently, this student, 3 days a week, only goes to a high school setting for, I don't want to misspeak, but I think it's just an hour. Maybe it's an hour and 20 minutes. But she's not there a significant amount of time. And students that aren't enrolled a significant amount of time at the comprehensive high school are not allowed to play UIL athletics. Normally, it's to stop the slacker student who takes all the outs. In this case, they've caught, when tuna fishermen go out to catch tuna, they don't want to catch dolphins, but occasionally they catch a dolphin. We have a dolphin in the net here regarding this. The policy wasn't written for her, but she's caught in this statewide policy. So I have asked the UIL to review that, and I personally think the UIL should address the early college movement across the state, which is growing. That said, currently she's not eligible via UIL, and so we cannot recommend at this time that we can't, in the sense that she's not eligible. Furthermore, I know Ms. Savina stands also on a philosophical point about it. Maybe you want to just take a minute and talk about that, but also we'd be able to entertain any questions you might have.
All right.
And my position is simply that, like the early colleges in Texas and in our city, I am not in favor of organized sports. at our early college. Our focus is on academics and the opportunity that we are providing to students here in the Galatillo ISD at Northwest Early College and in areas surrounding early colleges in El Paso is that many students are able to fulfill their associate degree requirements in 3 years. Then the transition that exists between the ISD is to the university. And so that is how we are providing that opportunity. So we are encouraging that forward momentum in terms of the academics. And I would not like to have any distractors in the way or any possibility of students being out, you know, having their attendance, for example, be an issue in terms of their university work or be distracted in any way or have you know, a situation where they might have a participation in out of town or extended periods of time, where we're taking the focus away from the third year junior level work that they need to be doing and the concentration that needs to take place. I want it to remain intact and I want them to be successful and strong students.
All right, I understand the philosophy behind that. And board has any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rodriguez.
How much are we looking for at least a response when a letter is submitted to UIL?
I think we'll get a response by the end of the week.
By the end of the week. I guess one of the questions, and I wasn't able to attend that meeting, I was out of town, but one of my, I don't see it as a distractor. I think especially depending on that type of quality of student, if you're getting it at that type of, at the end of the year, you know, their senior year, and you're looking at the GPA as well as them being able to fulfill those, I sort of see it as an incentive. My concern is that depending on what the UIL ruling is, how would we address this issue in the future if that's the case? Because what I don't want to see is, let's say if we were to switch policy, depending on what the majority of the board would want, but if we were to switch policy, I don't want it, the UIL doesn't change its policy, but the board switches policy and allows them to attend half-time, you know, part-time at a high school, then I see that becoming a problem because some of the students won't want to fulfill some of those high school requirements till the end. But depending on what the UIL requirement or what their analysis is of the situation, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I would like to see what the UIL actually is because I don't want that to become a trend when students don't want to finish some of their high school work because they want to see if they could play sports at their senior year and have time have to do the 6 hours.
And then, sir, if I could just make a comment. You'll notice the date of the letter is yesterday, so you might be thinking, well, why did you wait so long? We were actually in verbal conversation with them all the way through, starting back last Thursday, and they realize this is an issue that's growing. And so finally yesterday they said, you know what, this is going to go to the executive director. We need it in writing. And that's why the letter's dated yesterday. They are churning about it themselves, and they see that as the early college movement grows across the state, that they need to address it in policy or at least make a ruling that basically will count upper-level baccalaureate bachelor's degree classes as opposed to just community college classes.
The other question that I have is regarding, it was mentioned earlier that possibly there's no other early college or a charter school like this that doesn't allow for it. Do we know that for a fact, or is that just, I'm sure when we started ours, well, we were the 25th?
Something around there,
something
the 23rd
like
or so.
So are we able to research, did we do research in making sure that there was no other schools that did allow it so we could look at maybe some of their policies and see if it would actually help us on all just on all campuses?
In the El Paso area, we are all congruent in that regard. Outside of the El Paso area, we would have to do the research to see, you know, what some of the other early colleges in Texas are doing outside from the El Paso area.
Okay. And I think that would be something I would like the administration to at least research, just in case if that is going on outside of El Paso. That's all I have for right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I agree. I think we need to, we should make policy reflecting just when students, this is a policy that we need to take a look at in the long term for the board as to what, and I can see the I can see both issues. I can see that you want to encourage them instead to play sports to go on to the university level. The other issues I see is, are they going to be eligible to play at the university level? And whether or not they're going to allow to be played, would they allow to be played in the high school? Are they, did their eligibility start? I mean, I don't know these issues.
She is eligible. She is eligible to play varsity sports at Canyon High School under every rule except for the fact that she's not considered at least a halftime student. Right. She's eligible to play under residency. She's eligible to play in the sense that they don't have at the Northwest Early College athletics. All of those roadblocks are cleared and available for her to play except the halftime issue, which she does not fulfill, and she doesn't even come close to fulfilling.
All right, but the other, the bigger issue is we need to think of a comprehensive policy if we're going to go down this road. And what if we have, when we have two high schools and one early college high school, which high school are we going to allow her to go?
It's where they live in. It's their resident attendance boundary school where they're eligible to play.
Okay.
But I think your point is well taken. We have actually 18 students tonight that fit the same category as this student. It just so happens that this student is the only student that happens to be requesting varsity athletics at this point. But down the road, we can see this increasing, more requests coming in. I think that's one of the things Ms. Savina is worried about, that we're going to open possibly a Pandora's box of an issue that could affect the school in a foundational way, as opposed to just kind of an exceptional way as it is right now.
All right. Okay. Well, what if UIL says, all right, we're going to count their college credit hours, and where's our issue then at that point?
Then it just would be a board decision. If right. they count the UTEP hours, she would be fully eligible. And again, I mean, she's an exceptional student. She's gone above and beyond, and she certainly is going to school. No one is saying she's not going to school. It's just in the category issue where she's caught. If they allow it, she will fulfill every requirement except for board approval, and then the board would have to decide.
Well, I don't have an issue with it if the UIL approves that that they have credit with counting the collegiate hours in terms of satisfying the halftime. I see it as an incentive for, you know, that the BART policy should be that they're not allowed to play unless they complete their associate's degree, one.
Right. And, period. Sir, as an exhibit, I did give you, the father did put together a draft policy, which actually reads very well, if that's what the board desired. I mean, we tweak it a bit and go through it. But they're basically saying, you know, she'd have to maintain her grade point average. She would have to be fully through with her associate's degree. It would have to be on an individual basis with basically an interview type of thing. So we could work from this framework if that's the way the board wanted to go. I just really would caution you in the sense that Ms. Savina, the principal who's there on a daily basis, does have significant reservations regarding it.
Well, Ms. Savina, if the reservation is that they're not going to be allowed to, that might impede their transition into the university, what if UIL says, we're going to count those university classes towards their halftime. What then?
Well, it's not that they would impede it, but it's, you know, that we're taking a look at what we're trying to do with early college in terms of the focus and continue to keep the focus academic so that the students, I understand what you're saying in terms of it being an incentive, but, you know, with students taking Calculus 1, the different examples of courses that are junior level type courses, and really Cal 1 would be a freshman level type course, but what I'm trying to say is that they're rigorous and demanding and require a lot of time and effort. But
college students do that all the time.
Sure, absolutely. But what we're asking our early college students is to negotiate the high school and the university coursework in what they have to do so that they can be successful in both and they can have a proper transition, they can take advantage of that opportunity there. And so that is my focus in terms of transitioning the students to continue to have them be successful and earning that 3.0 to 4.0 because they are focused on what it is that they're doing.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate with you. Let's assume that you have this student that has a higher than 3.0, has already graduated from the associates, is enrolled in the university, and is excelling. Now, where is the issue then?
Again, I fall back to the same thing. I just want to make sure if they don't have these other distractions, then the student is being successful because the time is there for them to pay attention to the work that they have.
But they're excelling. Where's our issue then? So in other words, we could craft a policy that can take care of those issues, right? If you didn't finish your associates, you can't do it. If you're not going on to the university, taking university classes, you can't do it. If you're not maintaining at least a X grade in all your classes, you can't do it. Would that take care of? And then it's an incentive for them to say, I look at it the reverse side. Then if they're able to do that, they're going to say, geez, I want to do that because I want to also play. So what do we tell them, those that are excelling?
Well, what I would tell them is to continue to be excelling, continue to work at the university, and give their effort back to the early college because this is the school that they are attending.
Right.
And this is where their time and effort, I feel, should be taken care of and developed. Because there are plenty of things to do in terms of cultivating the environment at the early college. And so I would say then let's talk about how to devote the time in a setting where you can leave your mark and be proud of the school that you're from.
Give me an example.
For example, they could help out by developing the National Honor Society, which we don't have at this time. For example, we could look at developing Business Professionals of America that we don't have at this time. And so those are academic activities, things that we could really benefit from at the early college that would require the attention of students, but in a way that would not be the way that athletics demand the time. They wouldn't have to be there in the early morning hours. They wouldn't have to be there in the evenings for practice. They wouldn't have to be there for out of town type activities. And so the attention would be given back. The time would be given back to the early college in order to be able to have these academic opportunities for students. And so if the time is available, then certainly we can look at those types of things to help grow the school that they already belong to.
Okay. Well, but some of those clubs, apart from them being, would also take up their time and
sure,
take away their focus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can say that about the clubs too. Whether it be National Honor Society or whatever club.
But it would benefit the Northwest Early College.
No, I understand that.
And in terms of the time would be much more flexible and less demanding than a situation where you have to go at certain days of the week, hours of the morning, etc. And so the opportunity to help grow the early college is much more flexible and around the academics. So that the student is able to negotiate all of the parts without pulling at them. If they are not able to attend at this time, that's fine. Take care of the studying that needs to take place. Whereas if you're tied to a sport and there's a game, then those are commitments that students
have to. All right. What about intramurals within the early college high school?
Intramurals are things that could be done at lunch for fun that are non that are not organized in a way where they would take away time like I said in the morning or after school in the evenings out of town, etc. And so those are opportunities during the day where students are able to come together and participate, but not in a way that pulls them, because it's freer in the sense that they're able to come together let's say on Monday, but not a Tuesday, on Wednesday, not on Thursday. You know, it's more flexible that way. The commitment is not as large as, you know, what we're talking about in terms of the organized athletics.
Okay. Board?
I have an observation, maybe. What I'm hearing, Dr. Murphy, is no matter what we say, UIL isn't, at this point, going to allow this to happen unless...
No, they do. It's just whether
unless the student puts more hours in at the high school.
That's true.
So what is keeping her from just going to the high school?
If UIL rules says, hey, you know, maybe we'll look at this next year,
uh-huh,
which very well could happen,
yes,
then we're stuck. Then the option is, well, all right, so the student then could enroll in all these extra classes.
Yes.
And we still could make it work if the board...
Because isn't that the fail-safe? That truly this can happen.
That is possible.
But that's the only way I'm hearing it can happen, is to take the more class load at the high school.
Because she doesn't need...
Even if we said yes, UIL says no. And so it's a moot point, is what I'm hearing, that our yes is still a no.
Your yes would trigger this. If you said yes, either the UIL would have to say okay, or she would have to completely change her schedule and add those extra classes. If you said yes, you could do one or the either.
Which couldn't happen now. It would have to be the next semester, right?
Well, that's it. There's no credit, but she doesn't even need the credit.
But it is required by UIL to fit their...
Yes.
Yeah, their criteria and their requirements. So I would think that would be the obvious, that's the only course of success there, because no matter what we say, UIL right now, per your letter of the 19th, is not.
Currently, no.
They're not on board.
Currently, she is ineligible.
Yes.
Because they do not count any credit above and beyond the 60-hour community college. Anything that can't be considered dual credit.
Exactly. So our hands are tied to say anything, actually. It's if I'm not mistaken, it's on administration to work with the student and family.
That's true.
Not the board.
But I anticipate that if the UIL says no,
yes,
that I would anticipate that the family or another family that would be like this family would say, okay, well then load her up in a bunch of extra classes. But then we would be right back at the board, because right now we don't allow those students to participate in athletics. Hmm. So if we loaded them up in classes, we would still need a board decision as to whether or not she'd be allowed to play in athletics.
I understand.
Now, Monica brought up a really good point in the committee meeting about eligibility and other students. I don't know if you wanted to...
Well, my feeling is you have to look at the flip side. You have a vast amount of students that chose another route, that chose to go to the high school because they wanted to be afforded all the opportunities that come with high school. And now you're looking at this and you're wanting to kind of bend the rules. Well, what are we going to bend the rules for the high school kids? Are we going to pay for them to have a college education? They don't have one. They chose. I mean, it was a choice. It's a tough decision, and there are sacrifices that have to be made. But I'm looking at the district as a whole. I'm looking at all kids. And I just feel, I'm from the standpoint where we can't single one kid out, and what about the rest? What about these kids that have been attending the high school since freshman year, that have been playing this sport? I mean... Where's the justification in that? When you decided to go to Northwest, you made a choice, and with that choice came sacrifices. And there are kids that did choose to go to the high school, and they don't have a college education. They were not afforded that opportunity. They were not purchased a laptop. There's a number of things that kids at the high school were not afforded that kids at Northwest were. So where's the balance? I mean, are we going to make exceptions for kids at the high school? Are we going to turn around and tell them, hey, we'll buy your books for you next year? I mean, come on. That's my position.
Well, the kids at the high school do get dual credit classes. They do. They do have that.
They don't get an associate's?
They can if they want to, you bet. And some people in high schools here locally have done it without being in an early college high school.
Well, that's true.
That's it.
We've had kids at the high school.
No, at other high schools in town that have gotten an associate's degree without being in an early college high school. So they have that opportunity too.
My best friend did it back in the 80s.
So it's not like we're not allowing them. They can do it at the high school as well.
But I think at the high school we don't have the same range of services that are available at the early college. So although we may have dual credit type courses at the high school, they are not as robust in the sense that there are many and widely available, so that students in the Galapagos district are able to progress and achieve that associate's degree plus. Students in the comprehensive high school, any comprehensive high school, as ninth graders and 10th graders, cannot take dual credit classes. They cannot. That is something that is exclusive to early college students. So students in comprehensive high schools can begin their dual credit courses 11th grade year.
Mr. Chair,
I understand the issues, but it's not a total exclusion. What you're saying, Monica, I think you know there's issues to both sides. I look at it as an incentive to let these kids get their associate's degree. I look at it in those terms.
I've talked extensively with the parent. One of the things that they're saying back to that is, well, okay, yeah, we signed an agreement, but we did not realize when we signed it that actually we'd be able to finish in 3 years. We thought this would take 4 years, but we have 18 students that actually finished in 3 years, and so now they're sitting around their senior year. Ms. Savina says, okay, great, let's build our current campus and do everything we can to improve it. And the vast majority of the students are saying, okay. But this student is saying, okay, I've got this extra year. I'd like to do something different. So, you know, that's...
Mr. Chair. I mean, I'm also going and thinking of all the meetings we've had. I mean, why separate the two then? Why not let's just put the Northwest back with the high school and we'll do separate classes and everything?
That's what I would like to do in the state of Texas, yes, ma'am.
But we're not there yet.
I understand, but that's what I would like to see in this state. Actually, I think I'd like to fuse them. That's what we should do. Mr. Rodriguez.
I guess one of the questions and what we're able to look at, I think first we need I don't know, this is just me personally, but I would like to see what the ruling is on UIL, and then that way we can make a better decision on that. One of the things that I see is, you know, you were talking about cultivating the environment, and you know we're setting a culture of high expectations for these students, and we want to set it across the board. And I think you know what we have to deal with is a diverse group of individuals, whether it's BPA, you know, National Honor Society, you know, the mariachi program, whether it's you know, athletics. I think we need to integrate a diverse campus where we're able to offer, you know, different individuals their interests, because not all of our kids are, you know, just one interest. So I think we need to look at ways in the long term, but what we need to do if we are, depending on what the board wants to do, is create a policy that is going to be a sound policy, it's going to be, you know, the optimum policy, and it's going to allow us to look at it in the future and not just as a quick fix solution. So I think that's something that we need to look at. The other thing that maybe we can look at is, you know, the timing, that whether it's, I know at the college level it's the midterms, or at the high school, I don't know how the early college grading period is, if it's the same or if it's the 6 or 9 weeks because of the way the law states, looking at where we could look at it at a quarterly basis and making sure that those kids actually, we set the higher standard. Because if we're able to, I mean, we've already set the higher standard for these kids, and then if they're able to accomplish that and more, we need to make sure that we give them that opportunity. That's just my philosophy, and that's something that we need to look at. But I think what we need to look at first is making sure UIL allows us to work with this, and then we could look at what the direction the board wants to take.
Lori?
I have an observation question. As I understand it, if you're in a regular high school, and I'm totally, as y'all know, early college high school is not something I'm real up to speed on, but if you want to go to high school and get college for credit, you would take an AP course. And in so doing, get a 3 or a 4 on the AP course, and you would get your college credit for that class. Mm-hmm. And in so doing that, you would then keep totally remain eligible to play all sports. Is that...
Well, the second half of that is totally correct. The AP thing is a mixed bag. To get the hardwired credit is the dual credit classes, the DC classes, uh-huh. as opposed to the AP. The AP, you take the test, you get a great score, you turn that into the university that you want to go to, and you hope and pray that they
that
accept
they will
it.
Accept that.
But they cannot accept it if they have that
choose
desire.
To, yes.
The dual credit is the one that's more hardwired, although I know that there are also universities yeah. that don't accept that either.
My boys got dual credit from CanUT. It was not accepted anywhere, to be perfectly yeah. frank.
Well, it's accepted. They're both a mixed bag. Certainly the AP has the higher recognition around the nation, but the dual credit, so yeah.
Okay, I've got you.
But the eligibility doesn't change in a comprehensive high school
okay.
for athletic purposes, if it's a dual credit or an AP or a regular.
Then with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we postpone this until we hear a decision from the UIL. And the administration would come back to us at that point.
Yeah, and we can do that. There's a motion before the board and a second. Any further discussion?
I just have a comment.
Lifty.
Dr. Murphy, one thing that we were not anticipating is providing transportation to the students to YouTube, correct?
It is true that I personally have learned about it this summer. I can tell you that we're not losing any money, that we're actually being reimbursed for those routes, and it's actually a good thing for the district.
Well, I know, but it's something that we were not anticipating.
That's true. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And tuition-wise, tuition is paying for the tuition too.
The university has found scholarships for the students, and so the university has worked hard to find different donors for us the scholarships to pick up the tuition for all of these students.
Actually, the Texas Foundation gave $2,000 to each of the kids that actually graduated on time yes. for an associate's degree.
Greater Texas Foundation has been one of the donor states.
Yeah.
And Thursday night we have an activity with them.
Yes.
And any board member that would like to come learn more about early college, there's a dinner Thursday night with the Texas Foundation.
Yes, and we'd love for all of you to be out there because it's going to give you a chance to meet the students who, like Sarah, have completed their associate's degree, and the executive director from the Greater Texas Foundation, along with program officers from the Texas High School Project, the associate provost from the university, and EPCC administration will be there to celebrate their accomplishments.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
I guess one of the other things under I had talked to Dr. Ackle, which is the vice president, I believe, at UTEP, and had mentioned about the grants that were coming in. But at one of the conferences that I was in, Dr. Natalicio was talking about how actually we're going to need to look at probably some resolutions because of federal funding when it comes to financial aid for some of these kids, because it only allows if you graduated. So there's other
from high school.
That we need to look at
yeah.
For our kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of catch-22s in this, mm-hmm. these new early college high schools that they didn't anticipate.
New territory.
So I think what we need to look at is a resolution as well on that for financial.
And I think sports isn't the only thing that's going to come back to us. That's why I'm saying we need to take a look at a comprehensive policy, because what are we going to do with music? We're not going to let them participate. Well, but yeah. It's going to take away from their focus. They could have a focus.
But they do have it right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that taking away from the academic focus?
Well, I'm talking specifically about organized sports in terms of...
organized music. Where do we draw the line? What's organized and what's not?
The music that we offer is at the school. So I guess that's...
But you see where the lines get blurred? The lines get blurred.
It's not competitive, though.
Exactly.
Well, neither is our band.
Well, we should be.
We're not
to be competing. We're supposed to be.
We don't have to be competing.
It is.
So what have we been doing for the last 10 years? Not competing.
Mr. Chair.
And we have an organized bag.
On the floor.
I know. I'm just saying this is not the, this is not the, this isn't just sports. The lines will get blurred when some of these students want to participate in other things, maybe even at the early college high school. And what are we going to do at that point? So we need to start taking a look at some of these things.
Well, currently the lines are not blurred. If you are an early college student, you do not participate in those things.
Right.
Mr. Chair, real quick, that what we need a clarification too, because if it there is a mariachi UIL competition event,
that's true,
which is competitive, and how does that follow that? And so it's something that we might want to look at.
Well, under current policy, those fourth-year kids that had already graduated with their associates would not be eligible to participate in the UIL mariachi.
Yeah.
But the other kids would be.
Well, something that I would like clarified, because is it UIL mariachi for that campus, or is it district?
No, it's for early college. Well, it's nothing right now. We haven't submitted, but it would be for early college to do it. But those fourth-year kids would not be eligible to participate.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Tony.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Cuadrado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes, and I want to thank parents and students for coming tonight. We care about y'all. We really do.
Thank you, guys. All right, next agenda item.
Consider approval of district and campus performance objectives. Mm-hmm. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
I make a motion to approve the district campus and performance objectives.
I'll second that.
All right. We're agenda item 3.
B.
B, right?
No.
3.
Yeah, 3. No.
3B.
3B. No.
3B.
That
is
3B. Did they move it? Okay.
Yeah. It's 3B. To approve the purchase of water pump repair, rebuild, right? Oh, okay. All right, I didn't look at the other agenda item. It's actually the performance objectives then. All right, we have a motion and, did I hear a second?
Yes.
All right, we have a motion and a second and agenda item 3B, the district and campus performance objectives. Any questions for Ms. Gonzalez? No? All right. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Cuadrado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Pagan?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. 3C.
Consider approval of purchase of water pump repair, rebuild, and other infrastructure items related to water pumps at KNTO High School. Mr. Ramos.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we actually postpone this till we actually have the full 189 report.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to postpone agenda item 3C. Any discussion? I have a question, Mr. Armendariz. Assuming that we don't start on this till next summer, what are the issues?
Well, we have one motor and one pump that's not working, and only one motor and one pump that is working.
Okay.
If it ever was to come down, then we would have to close it down.
All right. Is anything going to change that we're not going to have to rebuild this?
Is there
one? I mean, regardless of who we hire, are we still going to have to fix this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to be an issue with respect to, okay, there's a certain way we're going to repair this. No. We need to repair it.
In fact, all of them came to me and told me, hey, you've got a problem out there. And I said, yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Guys,
I agree.
They're going to deal with this later on. We need to repair this.
Now.
Period. Now.
Mr. Chair, all three of them said as well that they're, once we do get them on board, that they could address this issue right away, because that's what they had recommended.
I understand that, but I don't want to wait till June of next year.
We need to do this immediately.
If that pump fails, we're going to close the school down this year.
Is there
something with the heat pumps? It was a rush, and there's some issues there. So I, I'm The motion's made. I'll call the question.
Okay. All right. Are you calling the question? Okay, the question's been called. Rachel?
What was the question?
In other words, do you want us to go ahead and stop discussion and vote on the actual first motion?
The first motion was to postpone, right?
Right. It was to postpone, and they want to call the question, so you want to go ahead and vote on that motion now, or do you want to further discuss it?
It's either yes to postpone or no not to postpone.
No. No, he's calling the question.
Of this item?
To stop, in other words, to stop discussion, cease discussion. Rachel?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
No.
No?
The question is, we're going to stop talking about it and just vote?
And just vote, right.
Yes.
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 All right, so motion passes. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
No.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
I still don't know what we're voting on.
We're voting to postpone the item and not fix the pump.
Oh, no.
We're going to leave the pump till next year. Yeah. Okay, motion fails.
Huh? I've got a question for the board. Does the board understand what we've done?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you reiterate
what the board did? I apologize, I was in the back.
There was a motion to postpone the item, and then a request for discussion, and a request to call the question, and a motion to postpone, and end the discussion. That was affirmatively voted yes. No more discussion. So discussion stopped. That led to the hearing and discussion of the motion, which was to postpone this item and not address the heat pump issue.
Not the heat pump, the water pump.
Because I understand the board's vote, that motion passed, and so this item is being postponed, and you are not going to address the water pump repair issue.
And is it the board's will that we bring this back in the October board meeting?
No, it was after the energy hearing.
Well, that wasn't the motion. The motion was to postpone it.
Was there a specific timeline on the postponement?
I don't recall.
There was
after the Energy Management Services people are on board.
After the full RFQ
are on board.
Yes.
Okay, motion passed. Next agenda item.
I have one more question.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can ask this or not. I just heard, though, RFP, RFQ plus, we went to tonight's presentations were for the RFQ.
I think they're getting an RFQ.
And, yeah, these were their qualifications tonight, correct? And we heard.
No, they're still going to have to come back.
Presentation to the board after invitation for proposals. And it's my belief at this time it's going to be handled by an RFQ.
Thank you.
Just a second.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you.
And how we want to handle the RFQ. Well, do we left everything? Yeah. Next item.
Consider approval of purchase of laptop computers.
I move to approve the purchase of the laptop computers using the ARRA funds. And I do have a question. Ms. Aguirre, I asked you this at our last regularly scheduled meeting. Had we spent all our money? I thought the answer was yes, we had spent all our money.
My response was that we were working on the various expenditures that were pending.
Okay.
Our balances on our system have been roll forwards have created some uncertainties, and so as we continue trying to keep up with them, this is where we finally landed on the amounts.
And do you feel that this will use up all of our money?
We have reviewed and analyzed as much as we can. We've gone back as far as, you know, reviewing the POs that were, you know, since the last true AS400 report that we had, and we feel certain that this is.
Because we don't want to give them back anything.
I
we want to spend up every nickel.
And we have been in a close communication, not only with curriculum and instruction, but the special ed department,
right,
because they have funds as well. And again, just very close review of the funds and the account balance.
So you feel secure?
I do.
We've accomplished the mission. Thank you very much, Ms. Aguirre. I'm glad we have.
Thank you.
Mike, I have a question. Where are the computers going? I know there's 71, correct?
Yes, it's a total of two mobile parts of computers. Right. We purchased the laptops, and because the funding can only go that far, we will be purchasing mobile parts to actually insert the laptops to. It will be used for classroom instruction. We discussed with Pam as far as we reviewed the type of application because it was very specific as to what we could and could not purchase. And basically the guidance that was provided by the TA auditors is as long as that campus had originally selected to purchase laptops and was authorized, then we could go back and purchase additional laptops. With the savings that we had received when we got that bid, when the funds were initially released, we ended up paying very good prices for about a year on laptops, computers, printers, all because of this RA funding that we received. So the additional funds that we did is when we received the funds and then we reviewed what each campus had purchased, we found that AMS, and JD were the ones that didn't purchase as many. They didn't purchase as many laptops. And so these mobile cards will be used to, you know, go from classroom to classroom for an assistant classroom instruction. So any programs that we purchase require technology, like iStation.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Is there a reason why we want with HP?
Basically, that is what we've been purchasing. We haven't purchased any other. Are you saying HP versus?
Well, we're buying Calus, right?
Yeah, but
right now, it's just the laptops. The cards will have to
be moved. Yeah. Okay, but we're buying the laptops, which are HP, right? Is there a reason why we went with HP?
I think the only thing, and Ron can help me there, basically we contacted, because we need to receive these items before the 30th, we did have to discuss it with vendors and see what availability was, as far as could they meet the purchase or...
Are they under a cooperative? Is that why
yes, they are under the cooperative.
And is any of the competitors under a cooperative?
Yes, there were some other ones that were, but they could not meet the deadline of having it here by September the 30th. We have to have it delivered here to the district by September the 30th.
So what are their...
The pricing between the two are real close.
They're the only concern I have, it's still going to be around. It's a solid company, but they're not doing so well right now because of some of their business decisions right. They made. But the other issue that I had, too, is don't we generally use Dell?
Not in the last few years. We've actually gotten away from
Lenovo's. Lenovo's, Dell's, and HP are the three we mainly target.
Okay, and so we have HP laptops, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's
fine. They were actually the low on the last year.
And these are going to our high school kids?
No, it's AMS and JVP.
It is one of the kids and not two. Any administrators?
No, we can't. We would be out of compliance if we assigned the two administrators.
Thank you, Trey. I had heard differently on some other products that were purchased. That's it. That's all I have, Mr. Schiffer.
All right. Anybody else? All right.
Motion to approve the purchase of laptop computers.
I think we already have a motion in a second.
I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right, Tony, pull the board.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Serra?
Yes.
All right, agenda item. Next one.
Consider approval of payment for Teams ProLogic annual maintenance and support.
All right. Marcia.
Good
At last week's meeting, we received the directive to go ahead and start a meeting and discussing, you know, if there was options or a plan that we could come up with. Well, with a short timeline between the time the decision was made to have this news meeting set up, with the absence of Ms. Brigham, and also the timeline was not enough to give us an opportunity to actually plan accordingly. I did communicate with Mr. Blanco and provided the information he requested, being the contract one and other information as far as the same items you have in your other packet that I shared with you. That is basically what I shared with Mr. Blanco. Now that Annette is back, we are going to move forward with discussions and preparing some kind of option presentation.
Chair.
Dr. Murphy.
Mr. Blanco has an opinion. I'm excited to speak at length with him about this. Mr. Blanco, can you?
Sure. Thing. At this point in time, although she did a great job getting extended date for the payment, it's not up to the October 20th on the invoice. It was my recommendation to go ahead and make the payment of requested by ProLogic. We'll get us at least in a position where we're completed the plans with the agreement. Prepare a letter. There's an inordinate number of exceptions and problems with the software, although we don't yet know how they've been categorized by customers. They handle the categorization of the contract, when they're required to repair and what they're required to provide. Once we have that, a better understanding of it, we'll prepare a letter.
We're meeting at 9 o'clock on Thursday to begin that letter process.
And we'll deliver that when we're down in Austin directly to ProLogic. There are a couple of concerns that the administration and I have because we don't have a backup system. And ProLogic is the same entity that provided predecessor system, and I don't recall the name.
AS4.
So we were kind of a single vendor position, so old system, new system. One of the other things we're going to do is ask around and see what other districts are using. Not that there's going to be a replacement effort, but that comes to pass well.
All right.
So, Mr. Chair,
what is the recommendation from Council on
this? To pay the invoice.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And I understand what is your recommendation, but if it was an issue last year, do you still recommend that? If she paid him,
you could
make
delay
any payments?
Sure, you could delay it and incur interest. Did they charge interest last year?
No.
The contract says that the amounts are due 30 days from the date of the invoice. If you're not paid within 30 days, you incur a 1.5% penalty on the amounts that you haven't paid. If they charge you that, would they do it? I don't know. We're fixing to comply with them, so I'd rather be in complete compliance and give them an opportunity to charge us something additional. And we'd also like to be in a position where when we approach this, we can say we've always lived up to our end of our obligations under the agreement, and they're the ones that have not. Now, if it comes to pass that they owe some type of refund, that will be dealt with in the contract negotiations down the road.
That was going to be my question. They were going to find any. Do you think they're going to reimburse us if we cancel? Or?
I can't say that yet, but that's certainly an option to pursue.
Anybody else?
I have a question.
Patsy.
Dr. Murphy, I noticed that all of the concerns voiced in the team's meeting notes pertain to finance and payroll. The student information system and HR are not experiencing any more problems?
They have experienced less problems, and we are not getting significant complaints at this time regarding those. It's simply the finance. The problem is the finance is the most critical, the most audited, and the most consequential. And we are experiencing significant problems. Are you referring to that list? I think that's 29 items.
Right.
That is going to be the basis of the letter that we're going to begin on Thursday. Steve and I, Mark, will also be involved that we can hand deliver. And we are very much at risk right now. And I don't want to sound alarmist, but there is an alarm sound. There is. and that or have to pee or get off the pot, to use colloquialism. They either have to step up to the plate and assist us, or we're going to have to go in another direction. And the timeline is such that they have to make that move now.
Yeah. The first thing he said.
Yeah.
I make a motion to approve payment for Teams Prologic annual maintenance and support as presented by administration.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item 3E to approve the payment for Teams Prologic annual maintenance and support. For any further discussion? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cardona?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
That takes us to
adjournment.
Unanimous consent for adjourned. All right, good meeting, guys.
Thank you, board. Appreciate it very much.
Well, this is mine. This is the already the travel stuff.
This was
Letty, you're not going to go up, bro?
No,
it's
my policy. It's in my policy to go to that one coming game.